And ask everyone to rise to salute the flag, say the Pledge of Allegiance.
6:39 p.m.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of America and to the Republic
for which it stands, God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And I'll call the roll. Bob Lisi?
Here.
Okay. Loretta Sexton?
Here.
Danny Soto?
Here.
Linda Fusco? Here. So we have a full vote tonight. There's a quorum. And so we can proceed. Has everyone had a chance to look at the minutes of the special meeting for January?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a motion to accept the minutes?
I'll accept. I'll make a motion to accept the Derby Housing Authority special meeting minutes dated January 16, 2024.
Okay, thank you, Bob. And Danny, did you second? Thank you. Any discussion on the motion? Any questions, any discussion on the meeting minutes? Actually, there's two. There's January 16th for the special meeting, and then there's February 8th was the February meeting. All right, if there's a motion, there's a second. Hearing no discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. Minutes carry. Going to look at item number 5, additions, deletions, and corrections. Besides me, does anybody have any? Okay, hearing none, I'd like to add under new business, item C, which is discussion and possible action for purchase of necessary tools. And I would also like to add D, which would be discussion and possible action of having Danny Soto oversee the maintenance people along Missouri. So can I have a motion to add those two items under new business? It would be C and D.
I'll make a motion under new business that we add C and D.
Okay. So Bob and Danny, you seconded?
I'll second.
Okay, very good. Any discussion motion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Public portion. We actually have Joyce Palmer here from the public. Joyce, would you like to speak?
No.
Okay. All right. Good. Is there anyone else on the phone from the public who wishes to speak? Anyone from the public? One last time. Anyone from the public who wishes to speak? Hearing none, I'm going to move to item number 7, which is old business. Monthly update from Imagineers. Maria, that's you.
Yes. Hi. No new business with it. I mean, news to report. We are, you know, planning for the big changes that are happening through HUD systems here with the Inspire, which is the new inspection protocol instead of the HQS. And recently we had our staff and some of the managers at a training session out in Waterbury for 3 days to go over some of the mandates and some of the changes that will need to be also incorporated into the administrative plan on the policy for some of the discretionary types of policies that we would need to list in that administrative plan. So we'll be drafting that and presenting that to you so that your board could review as well. Nothing yet with the HOTMA changes in regards to the recertification and the interims for the way the income calculations are performed. You know, we're still forging through. There's still some HUD guidance that housing authorities need. So we're just, you know, forging through to any of the trainings and any of the industry type of literature that, you know, we're getting, so that we're prepared for that when it hits next year. And that's basically okay. It. There's really not a whole lot. We're still waiting on the final numbers for the budget authority, for the housing authority. And today we were listening in on some information from NARO in regards to the bills and, you know, that have to go to the president to review, to sign, and hopefully to then have, you know, going forward with a budget. We're seeing that there's a slight increase in the voucher housing assistance payment, not so much for the administrative fees, which, mm-hmm. You know, actually it's at a 82 proration factor, which is a lot less. It's less in the amount that a housing authority is going to get to administer, mm-hmm. you know, that their programs, and it's the lowest in the last 2 years is what we're being told.
So how is that mm-hmm. going to affect us, actually, or affect you, since we, you know, pay? I don't know.
Yeah, no, it really isn't. I mean, what we're seeing is that the average housing assistance payment has increased, you know, with people, you know, still, you know, coming out of the pandemic and you know, their incomes aren't as high as you know, they would want, or we would want at this point. But no, it really doesn't affect you know, the participants or the program or the administration of it. I mean, we'd like to get a little extra money, but it is what it is. And I mean, it's been a number of years that the administrative fees have not been funded at 100%, and housing authorities are used to that. So it's just, you know, working with you know, what the housing authorities receive for HAPs and for administrative fees.
Understood. Anyone have any questions for Maria? All right. I don't hear any. So Maria, thank you so much as always.
Thank you.
Always appreciate. Thanks very much.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. Yes, have a good night, everyone. Bye-bye.
You too. Thank you. Bye. Okay, Regina, you're up next. Monthly report. Did everybody have a chance to look at Regina's report? Any questions on the report? Okay. I don't hear any. Regina, is there anything that you want to add to this?
I just want to reiterate that about the community garden. It is an idea that we talked about when the mayor came to visit, and Miss Palmer said that she couldn't get any transportation. I was wondering, did she have any luck trying that go-go parent thing, or did she go with the other lady that was sitting there, her name just slipped, Peggy, with Miss Peggy. Yeah, there you go. Did she decide to go with Miss Peggy so that she can get back and forth to the Department of Social Services? We already addressed the laundry room issue, but I just want to say that I hope we can be able to do the community garden for those that, you know, would like to plant something. You know, if we can, you know, change it, because a lot of seniors are not able to get to the community garden that the community has for them. That was an issue with CCM Manor, because a lot of them, you know, they do not, you know, get out as much. So if they had something a little closer, I thought that would be really nice for them. But it's still up in the air. And also, I want to talk about the AED that we talked about also with the mayor. The AED, I am looking into possibly trying to get a grant or, you know, see if we can get someone to donate an AED.
Since you're speaking about that, Tom Leonard, who is a police commissioner, but he's also the director of the ambulance program in Derby, he's going to do a grant for us, and he will do the training. So
okay.
I talked to Zuri, I think, yesterday, and asked her to talk to some people in the units to see who would be interested in being trained, because we need to have about 3 to 4 people trained,
yeah.
Because you never know who's going to be home.
Yeah, because I can set up training with American Red Cross. I can set up training through Derby Senior Center, because we're about to have one that's coming up on March 13th.
Right.
I did put it in the newsletter, but I don't know if anyone saw it. But it is in the newsletter so that they can come. The cost is $35. And, you know, you got to be able to get on the floor. You know, this is what I was told, so that, you know, someone can learn how to do the AED. But I am feverishly looking, you know, because I want to be able to help as much as possible.
Mr. Leonard is qualified to do the training. So he will
okay.
come in and do the training for free. So that's done. It's just a matter of getting the grant and getting the unit. So
right.
I can keep you posted on that.
Yeah, I'm looking also for grants for the AED. I sent a link to the executive director, Zuri. I sent a link to her, and I said, look what I came across. You know, I showed it to her. So there is a link that we can sign up for a grant, you know, so.
And said that did you understand that I was saying that Tom Leonard in the community, the director of the ambulance corps, has already applied for a grant. He's working with a grant writer to do that for us, and he will come in and do the training. So it's a matter
okay.
of...
Okay, I wasn't clear on that. All right.
Yeah, it's a matter of identifying people who want to be trained. There has
right.
to be 3 to 4 people, and maybe, you know, multiples in sight that would be willing
right.
to do it, take responsibility.
Okay.
So that would be a conversation to have with people, like when we get the units and we're ready for training. Who wants to do it?
Right. Okay.
Regina, so let me give you some information that can help you with the community gardens. If you contact team, there was a Valley Food Task Force that started the community gardens that were surfacing around the Valley town. So if you call team, Dave Morgan was instrumental in it. I'm not sure at team who maybe does that now, but they can help you with who is and how to get it started. So contact team and ask them about the community gardens.
Okay. I'm also in contact with Massaro Farms.
Okay.
We're all connected with something called All In Derby and Sonia Seymour Oxford and Milford. And we focus on community gardens. We focus on food insecurities, and we also focus on homelessness.
Okay.
You know, so I'm very well connected. So I will look into it with Mr. Morgan, and I will check in with team to see basically who they have, and maybe we can all link up together.
Thank you.
What part of the issue, and is Zuri isn't on yet?
He's here.
Okay.
I heard her say hi.
Oh,
yeah,
well,
here.
Okay, thanks, Rory. So one of the things that we talked about is it's in the lease that we're not supposed to have gardens, correct? But some of the people have chosen to have small individual ones. We talked about the pocket park down the street from CC Manor, at least, that has a community garden or had a community garden in the past. Can you talk about what the say?
Right. It's, I believe it's over on Fifth Street, the garden that's the community garden that they had before. And as far as the lease, it's up to our discretion. So I know that I had talked to Loretta about it, and she said that You know, they're not too worried about animals coming around in that area. That was my only concern, because I know that some people were growing vegetables and things like that. So I didn't want to cause, you know, animals to come around and you know, meddle with the plants or the vegetables. So as long as they're staying away, I mean, it would be fine with me. It's up to our discretion how we want to proceed with that.
Okay, Loretta, she has...
I've had a garden since 2016.
And you have...
Right. I've had a garden, it's fenced in. I have a fence.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody bothers it.
Okay, so commissioners, do you want to take a vote to override, you know, so that people could either do it as a group if they want to do a small community garden, or for people who want to just have their own?
I think at this point, Linda, I'm a little concerned about opening it up. I'd rather see something like a community gardens.
Offsite?
Yeah, only because you don't know how many people would really take care of them.
Well, nobody really has them at Guardian. There's only four of us that have it at Steiger.
And you have individuals.
We share it.
Yeah, I'm not saying that not to have, you know, what we have currently is fine.
But to open it up to a community garden is what you're saying.
Well, no, I think a community garden would be fine if, you know, because the ones that are located throughout the valley are well taken care of and they're fenced in and they're really well done.
Okay. So I don't think I was meaning to open it up to everybody in the community to come on our site, but I'm saying either an individual or a community garden by the residents on their own property, you know, or on a piece of property in their, at their site.
I know what you meant, Linda. It would just be for, you know, our clients.
Right. And does that sound okay?
Yeah, I guess so. If they really want to do it, I think it's a good idea.
As long as they maintain it,
yeah.
And we don't have any blight issues, like, you know, everyone's always going to hold a star, and I'm not trying to knock this down. I want it to happen. It makes everybody, you know, it gets everybody up and getting fresh air too. I think I agree with Bob a little bit about just making sure everyone just take care of their own and just clean up.
Yeah, we don't need maintenance jobs.
Yeah. For sure.
Right, and we did run into an issue at Cecia Manor. There was a family that had potted plants all spread out on the grass area. So it's, you know, it was kind of an eyesore, and they weren't taking the best care of it. So mm-hmm. At that point, we just said, you know, get rid of them, because we couldn't say that for one and not for all.
Correct.
So, I mean, I guess it could be on an whoever requests it at this point. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. We need to, then, if we're going to do that, we need to establish boundaries on, like Linda was saying, in front of their, whatever it is, in front of their house, it can't be no bigger than a 5x5 square. Anything above that is excessive. Not that we're going to go out there and start measuring, but if we don't put boundaries, that will happen where people just spread out everywhere. So I
right.
think
I know what you're saying. Right.
A measurement, whatever yeah. it is, and it's and it's a 5x5, 6x6, whatever it is, and that's all you get. Because if not, we'll be in trouble.
I agree okay. with that. Definitely.
So okay. do we want to make a motion to put this off till next month and come in with some boundaries or some guidance?
I think so.
Yeah, definitely yeah. some guidelines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We could go out there just to sites and say, hey, this is at CC, they could have a 5x5, but over at the other one, it's a little bit larger, they could have a little bit more of a 6x6. So I think we just gotta just walk the property, establish where is it gonna go, and mm-hmm. and then we'll give all that information to Zori, and then hey, apartment 10C, and she'll know, hey, I want to do a garden. All right, your location is left to your door, and you got a 5x5 square. And that way, everyone knows, it's all transparent. No one's going to argue about anything.
All right, so I'll make a motion that we table this till next month after everybody's had a chance to visit the site and think about what kind of rules, regulations, boundaries we want to come up with, and then we'll revisit it next month. I do think it's a good idea. It's healthy exercise.
Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank
do
you.
I have a
second? I'll second.
Okay. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion carries. All right. So I see that item C is discussion and possible action on use of daily logs for maintenance temporarily. I didn't attend the last meeting. I think there was maybe no quorum. Maybe there was some discussion. I don't know what the discussion was, but clearly, in light of recent activity, it seems to me that that's not a bad idea. Just me putting out there. Commissioners, other thoughts?
Yeah, certainly considering
use of daily logs.
I still feel strongly about that. I still think, and it doesn't necessarily need to go beyond into the office. I think that was a misunderstanding with everyone. I think I also, it's under new business. I feel, and this is just my opinion, and hopefully you guys agree, is also giving titles to the guys here, as Willie could be the lead maintenance guy, right? And whoever comes underneath him, his title is going to be the apprentice. So to give Zori a little break, the only time the apprentice should call Zori is with any type of office administration. The apprentice should go directly to Willie. Willie then goes to Zori, and everything will be based from Zori to Willie. And then, you know what? We are paying him a good amount of money where we should also give him a little bit extra responsibility on overseeing who's below him. That's his helper. That's just my opinion. And then anything And this way, whenever that person does their daily, weekly report on what they did, they give it to Willie. Willie looks at it and he submits it all to Zori. I think this way we know. And I came to light today where they might have been work done and signed and they checked off that they did the job, where in reality, the job was not done. There was some plumbing issue in one of the buildings that I just found out today. This individual just boarded it up and called it that it was done. So I'm a little worried that we're going to find work that were supposedly done, not done correctly or not at all. So having a daily report, I think it'll just really help everyone out.
Any thoughts on that?
No,
I tell you, I agree.
I think in lieu of what has happened recently, it's definitely a need.
We need a little bit closer oversight.
Yes.
All right. So do I have a motion for use of daily logs for maintenance?
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Danny. Is there a second?
I second.
Thank you, Loretta. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carried. All right, discussion and possible action on employee work sites. Okay, that goes back to Regina's having a schedule, and I'm going to just put it out there. I don't know what the discussion was last time because I didn't participate in the meeting, but I still feel like there should be a schedule where she's physically at each site during the week, you know, the days that she's here. I'll leave that open for discussion.
So, I mean, I get what she's saying, and I did visit some of the other places. I mean, there is this open area, but under new business, if we happen to agree on getting a van, we'll be able to clean up a lot of these offices and put a lot of these chemicals and tools in the proper location where we can possibly open up nice little offices in every location. So I agree with Linda. I think once we get a safe spot, I think, yes, it should be moved around and set a schedule on Mondays you're here, on Tuesdays you're there, on Wednesdays you're there. And this way it's a clean, safe environment where there's no chemicals, there's nothing that would affect anyone that works here.
I agree with that. I agree with that. We need a safe safe place for Regina's to work in all of the site at all of the sites. And once we get that, then you know, we could plan a schedule as to which days of the week. And also the tenants know which days of the week she's there. So yes, mm-hmm. But I do think we need to have better accommodations.
Yeah, I mean, I've been fortunate enough. Well, I was a little injured, so I was able to really be around and annoy some people, and I apologize. But it just gave me a better overview on everything, on every aspect, on every person's opinion on stuff. And a lot of the sites are cluttered in the rooms. A lot of these sites have a lot of debris and garbage that looks like it wasn't done within a day, so I'm not blaming one person. I think this is an ongoing issue that's been happening for years. So I think once we really clean up everything and really start organizing everything, and like I think I explained this to Linda, and start operating these guys that are doing the maintenance more of a, like almost like a small contracting business, because that's what they're doing. They're doing contracts. And treat it in that aspect, I think we will be in a much better place and a much better understanding. And you'll understand what I mean when we go into the new business and the whole van idea. But like, I'm just trying to be helpful and help everyone out to just be more comfortable.
Yep. Okay. Any on that?
No, I just think we need to revisit it when we have a suitable work environments.
Okay. All right. So we'll have a motion to table that until the rooms are cleaned mm-hmm. out and ready.
I'll make a motion. Right. I'll make that motion.
Bob and Danny seconded. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Motion. So we'll go on down to new business. Under A, discussion and possible action of selling the small maintenance truck and purchasing the small minivan. Danny, I'm going to turn that over to you. That was your idea.
So now this is going to, like, you'll understand where I'm going with this. Both trucks, like I said, I've been around now for about a week and a half. And both trucks are pretty beat up. Both trucks, I don't know how long they may or may not last. So I made a proposal to Linda, and I found a nice size van with all the proper shelving, with a lot of storage, overhead space, where now we'll trade in the small Tacoma as a down payment and get the van. And the reasoning behind this is, again, there's a lot of clutter. There's a lot of tools. There's everything all over this three buildings. And my mind is, the way I'm thinking is, like I said, like a small business. Small business, they all have a work truck. The truck has the tools. Now, if we get a call in the middle of the night and now Willie needs to go get the snake for one property, but the snake is at the other property, now he's running around. Versus if we had all the tools, all everything in the van, labeled, marked, serial numbers documented, we'll know what's in the van and who's operating the van. And if someone comes at 2 a.m. for a reason, they just got to come, pick up the van, go to the site, do the job, and then continue from there.
Any thoughts, any questions for Danny?
So Danny, you don't think they need a small pickup truck? Because we have two, correct?
We do have two. Danny just had to step out and take a call for a minute. Okay, go ahead. He was saying you don't think he needs the small truck and the big truck?
No, because the van, they got two trucks. One truck is large, and they were using that one primarily to do dump runs. The little one always sat there. The little one is a 2006 with only 28,000 miles, and it's beat up because it's not built for construction. It's not built to be in the site. So I propose to get rid of the little one, keep the big one for all the dump runs, all the heavy, and then using the van just to keep all the tools organized. You could keep all the fixtures, light switches, plugs, everything in the van.
Yep.
Where we're going to clean up a lot of these offices and all these tools and anything that could fit in the van, we're going to organize it accordingly. So no, we don't need the two trucks. We just need the one that say the van will be the primary van, the one that the lead guy drives mostly. And then the little truck could be for the apprentice who just...
Give me the big truck.
The big truck that just has to go and pick up the debris and take it from point A to the dumpster.
Yep. Yeah, I'm fine with that. I just wanted to make sure we were keeping the big one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Plus the van will be more secure.
Let's talk about price. I don't right. know that we think I asked Zuri to have any conversation with our fee accountants, but
I reached out to her. She's going to get back to me to see if it, I think Danny had quoted around 20,000 for the van. Mm-hmm. So she said she's going to get back to me and see if that is something that we can do within the budget.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that van, we don't have to stick with that van. It just happened to be, I thought, one of the better vans. But
did you look at it?
I haven't gone there personally. I went online. I did my Carfax, everything. I wasn't going to go waste my time, go to Wallingford without permission and figuring out. But I'd rather know, get a yes, let's do this, versus I waste a lot of my time out there. And then it's like, no, let's get a cheaper van. So that's why I haven't gone out there.
And what do you think we can get in trade for the small truck?
So I did a little bit of research. If we wanted a private sale, we'll get a lot more. We could get up to $7,000. But then we got to hassle with if something breaks down or
yeah.
every time somebody comes down, they want to look at the truck. Zori or somebody has to stop what they're doing to go show them the truck and test drive the truck.
And honestly, I wouldn't want a woman to test drive a truck with somebody she didn't know.
Yeah, so I propose more of just, you know what, if the truck is paid off, we'll take a little bit of less. I think trade-in value is like $5,000. We'll just trade it in as is. No headaches, no hassle. That $5,000 will go right towards the purchase of the new truck or used truck versus, oh, why did you sell that truck to this person for that much? We could have got that much more for it.
No,
so
you're right, Danny. We sell it, you know, trade it in.
Right.
I agree.
So,
all right. So
we'll just have to wait.
As opposed to table it for another month, what if we gave Danny a dollar amount cap, assuming that we vote on tonight, assuming that nothing happens until the fee accountant comes back and says yay or nay.
You need that in the form of a motion?
So the right. thing I was looking at, so everyone knows, and that's just the sticker price on the computer, internet, was 21.9. It was for a Dodge Ram ProMaster 1500. And it has all set up ready to go with the shelving in the back and all ready for these guys to start working. So it was for $21.9, but you know what? You subtract the trade-in. So, yeah, I just need a dollar amount.
Tax,
registration. But that's all I need to know is the dollar amount and if you guys want to do it or not.
What if we, pre-approved up to $25,000? Pending the fee accountant's approval, and Danny could shop around. I don't know, Bob, if you have time and you want to go look at some of them. I wouldn't know. I never had a van. I don't know what trucks are worth.
Yeah.
But you know, like we can approve it tonight up to $25,000 only if the fee accountant approves it, which we should know in a couple of days, maybe by Monday at the latest, Tuesday, and then we can go and do that. Does that make any sense?
Yes. It does.
All right. So let me see if I can say that in the form of a motion. I move that we approve the expenditure of $25,000, assuming that it's approved by the fee accountants for the purchase of a van, along with the trade on the small Tacoma. Does that sound like a good motion? Okay, thanks. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, motion carried. All right. Discussion and possible action regarding replacing door handles that are not ADA compliant. I'm going to hand that back to Danny because he's the one who actually had the conversation with Calvert and found out that our handles are not ADA compliant.
Yeah, so when everything occurred with the one that we just let go, I was concerned about changing locks, making sure that this individual didn't make extra keys or could come in. I was concerned of maybe coming into some property and just, and this is just the police in me again, and I apologize if I offend anyone, but I've seen it happen where they come back, a disgruntled worker destroys the apartment that they just fixed just to be vindictive. So when I went to Calvert, he mentioned to me that a lot of our, most of our doorknobs are not in compliance because they need to be handled. They're not supposed to be doorknobs. Due to, you know, arthritis, you know, being older, they can't grab. So that made me start thinking. I brought that to Linda's attention. So they're ready to go. They just need to know if we're going to do it. And that just helps us to be in compliance.
Can you just give dollar amount?
Yeah, I'm getting there.
Okay.
I'm working up to it. But it was a lot less than I thought because the handles are about roughly, he told me right now they're about, it's just for numbers, it's not exact, $150 per door, the handle. However, the more we do, the less it'll be. So if we were to do all three buildings or the two buildings or what, it'll obviously drop down from 150 to possibly 120. So when we get done, the lease will be. And as long as we give them the contract, we don't have to, we'll just tell, yep, we're doing all the units, but we're going to do it in stages. And they'll still give us the discount. So what I'm just proposing is to let's get the handles done to compliance. We're doing it in stages, and it's a roughly $25K, give or take.
Now, we're sitting here in Cece's community room, and I'm looking over, and remember that with the monies that we got from the Small Cities Grant, we did renovate, and they have compliant door handles. I don't know. We'd have to really go through and see who has them and who doesn't. I'm going to assume that at least the three units that were done over, the handicap compliance, have them, but we'll look.
We just got our door handles changed 2 years ago.
You have the
No, we have the regular.
You don't have those. Okay.
So they told me those were the least expensive one that I think you guys do cover, but Hector put them, installed them. So
no, Herman installed those. That was what
Herman did.
They thought someone had the master key.
Yes. And that was another issue. Like there's a whole bunch of keys for a lot of stuff, and Willie and whoever comes, they got to figure out what key is what. So with them doing that, they'll be able to consolidate all these keys to just, there'll be like one master key, and then for this building, and then obviously each apartment have their own keys. It'll just consolidate instead of having that old school 200 keys and that one ring to possibly 3 to 4 keys. That's it.
The other thing, Mr. Calvert was saying is that if you had to change a lock, you just change the cylinder. You don't have to do the whole thing. So
for
the future, it would be less expensive.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Linda's right. I forgot about that. All the ones we have to replace every time. Just like again, we get a disgruntled tenant. They don't want to give us the keys. We don't have to go change the whole unit. Where with these. All they do is they'll send somebody out, they'll change the inside of the cylinder, or they just rekey it for a fraction of the price. So we'll never have to worry about changing or the whole unit again.
I mean, we need to be in ADA compliance, so that's this for me, it's a non-issue. We have to do it.
Agreed. All right, so are we ready to take a vote? Can somebody make that as a motion?
I'll make a motion that we replace the door handle so they are ADA compliant.
Mm-hmm. And second. Okay, thank you, Loretta. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, D, it goes back to what Danny was talking about. Go ahead, Danny, go ahead.
So I guess D, C.
You're C. Right.
So it's purchasing tools. Even though we have $40,000 worth of tools in our in the Home Depot account, we have nothing over here. I came to find out today. I had a conversation with Willie, and I was like, hey, how are you doing all this job without tools? He goes, well, I'm doing the best I can with what I got. It's nothing. And I just been bringing stuff from home. So then I asked him, hey, so how was it done in the past? Well, he had his own tools supposedly in his truck. And he used those tools, and I had to use my own. So what I'm proposing, and I know it's, right now we're spending a lot of money. However, these guys do not have a table saw. So we supposedly purchased a bunch of nail guns that we don't own or have on site. So Willie cannot nail or fasten the trim around the apartment. So I'm proposing, instead of buying all these gas charge expensive nail guns, to buy one of those nice compressor kit that comes with a small compressor with three nail guns. We did find one of the miter box in one of the storage rooms, so we don't need to purchase that. So what I was asking is to maybe buy about $1,000 worth of tools that again will be labeled. We will document all the serial number that will be given to Zori and in a folder, and we're always going to know that, hey, this is what we have, it should be in the van. And we'll even start documenting the tools that, like the snake, I don't know the serial number or where it's located at the moment, and just put everything on paper. But right now, Willie's operating with his stuff, and I'd rather buy our own than he breaks something that belongs to him, and now we're replacing his tools. So that's what I was asking, to see if we could purchase tools so they could efficiently do their job. The only thing I did tell Willie and whoever comes is that, hey, just like a small construction business, you still got to have your own hand tools. Hand tools as your hammer, your tape measures, screwdriver, possibly your own screw guns. Those are your typical regular hand tools for a maintenance person. All we're going to purchase is the bigger ticket items like the table saw or one of 20. So we could then just have it here and document it.
You know, in taking a look at the, you know, the elderly sites, we have four turnovers that we need to complete. And it certainly would save them a lot. It saved Willie a lot of time, and professionally would look much better with the proper tools. But those four turnovers, you know, we got to get people in there.
Mm-hmm. All right. Do you have any thoughts, Loretta?
No, we need tools.
Okay.
We should.
All right. So I make a motion that we authorize $1,000 worth of purchase of the tools necessary that will stay on site. They'll be inventoried, they'll be labeled. And if down the road there's something else that's needed, Danny, you'll come back and let us know, and we'll authorize the purchase. I think maybe from this point on, we need to start authorizing purchases.
Yeah, I'll second that.
Okay, any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. All right, and Danny, take it away. We're on D, that's title. Right. You did
so,
bring
so,
it up.
So I briefly touched it earlier. I think to help Zori out a little bit as well, I think, you know, like I said earlier, Willie's getting paid a good dollar amount. I think we should just say, give him a title. Hey, you're the lead maintenance guy, and whoever comes below him is the apprentice, where the apprentice will just always, you know, for the exception of healthcare and anything with scheduling, the apprentice should go directly to Zori And anything related to jobs, turnovers, or what needs to be done, I think he needs to go to Willie, and then Willie directs it to them. This way, I think that might help Zori out in the office, just being able to just delegate, hey, Willie, this is what we need to get done, A, B, and C. You tell whoever's over there, you tell them what you need that, what you need for them to get done. I think that is a little bit easier on everyone instead of having everyone going over there. And then also part of this one is I want to try to be more involved, especially with the maintenance guys and the purchasing. And sometimes, and I'm not taking anything from no one, but I think it's when they're talking to someone that knows what they're talking about, I'll understand and I'll be able to say, yes, we need that tool. No, we don't need that tool. Do it this way and you should be fine. I think it'll just be a little bit more cost effective, but I'm not trying to step on anyone's toes. I'm just trying to really just help out and try to get these turnovers done in an efficient, fast way.
No, I agree. We need to have that organization.
So I have a question. So Willie will be overseeing maintenance.
That's
or
what
exactly are his roles as lead maintenance?
So his lead would be basically he'll oversee Junior or whoever comes. He'll you're just gonna have that conversation instead of having two people, you're communicating, and then there's this he said, she said, and this apprentice is going to go to Willie and say, hey, well, she told me to do A and B, and Willie's like, well, no, I need C and D done. I think if you delegate and only deal directly with Willie, let Willie delegate and tell whoever's here what they need to do, because he's the one on the floor out here. He understands what needs to get done. The only time I'm not saying he can't go to you. What I'm saying is, especially when it comes to healthcare and all the other paperwork, yes, that's not a Willie question. What I'm saying is Willie will just be overseeing whoever's there. And you know what, Zuri, if that person doesn't efficiently do what they're supposed to do correctly, it's no longer on you. It's on the person that is the lead apprentice.
Well, hang on a minute, because the other side of that is that you don't want an employee assessing the performance of another employee
or doing
like a performance appraisal. If Zuri doesn't have anything to do with Junior, how is she going to know when it's time to do his appraisal or to make a recommendation for raise to us? How is she going to know?
Right.
Okay. Well, those are the performance. Those are the activity reports. He's going to have to fill one out every day. On Monday, I did apartment 10C. I did the flooring and I did the cabinet. And then he gives that to Willie. Willie, now he's going to like make sure, okay, you did all that. He gives that to Zori on Friday, his and whoever's there. So she's always going to know what they both did instead of having too many people. It's only two, but if you don't want that, that's fine. I'm just trying to just minimize the back and forth.
I see where you're going with this. And I would say if it comes to like, I'm not sure how to do this piece of work, hey, Willie, come and show me, or let me ask you a question, because Willie probably would be better. But I still think that she has to be able to meet with all of the employees at some point, weekly, monthly, whatever your system is, so that, you know, she has a sense of, are they happy? Mm-hmm. Are they content in their job? Do they need other supports? Because she, at the end of the day, is responsible for their performance.
Yep. No, I agree with you.
Right. And the way that we do it now, I mean, anytime there's a vacancy, I always meet with maintenance and they say, okay, well, this needs to be done. This is what we'll do. We'll do the floors, the electrical. So I have an idea of what has been done to the unit, you know, once it's being turned over. So that's how we've always done it, to where I could put eyes on it and see what needs to be done as well.
No, I still want to. No, that'll still be done. Because you're the one that looks and basically approves and say, hey, it's ready for renting. It's just little minor things. Instead of too many of he said, she said kind of deal. Just trying to just minimize the running around. That's all.
Bob and Loretta, what's your take on this?
But
you know, I understand, you know, Zuri certainly needs to have her eyes on some of this, but I also think that there needs to be an organizational piece that Willie's the head man, and who's ever under him needs to know that. And Willie's going to be the one to tell us whether, you know, the apprentice can cut it or he can't cut it. I mean, you know, so I think we need to depend on Willie a little bit more.
So Willie will be the one reporting to.
Right. So if Willie says, hey, listen, you know, Junior is just, you know, like he's not doing anything and I'm doing all the work, then Zuri can call Junior in and have that conversation.
All three of them.
Yes.
It's always been. I mean, even when with the old maintenance, whoever was there first.
Maybe I said it the wrong way. It's like what Bob, how Bob said it. And if discipline and anything else, then it's all three of you. So it's really you and Willie working close together. Willie then is taking care of the field. And if he feels that something's not going right, he brings it to your attention. And then you need to address it, or both of you address it. I'm just trying to also, he's the one on site. He's the one overseeing everything somewhat. So even if it's not him, if let's say he doesn't work out, whoever comes. This way, it also helps you out a little bit. And then you're the one that initially got to sign off and say, yep, this is ready to be rented.
What I'm saying is that's how it's always been done. Like even, you know, with the previous maintenance guys, whoever was here first was always the head. That's who I dealt with more. That's who I talked to more. That it's always been that way.
Okay, so then it really won't be much of a change.
Nope.
Right.
I think the other thing, too, that we have to document, and whoever goes out, because this is a question I was asked by the police today, and we weren't really able to answer well, is that they want to have the ticket of what's been done, and then they want to know, is it done? And if the purchases that are made to complete that, if they were used, you know, so, okay, say I go into apartment one and I say it needs flooring and it needs cabinets and I need nails and I need a hammer and I need the flooring and whatever. So person goes out and buys the things for that unit. And then you make sure that all of those things were used for that unit because they wanted to know, could we tally or match the job description that this person had with some of the things that were purchased. And we don't have that. We don't have any of that.
Why I had asked maintenance when they're doing a turnover to attach the receipt to the checklist, because anytime an apartment is ready to move in, they have to complete a checklist and they attach the receipts to that. So I know that whatever they spent coincided with that job.
Which makes complete sense. But it seems like somebody didn't cooperate with you because we don't seem to have those.
No, based on the receipts that you gave me, and I spent two and a half hours, and I attached all the tools that were with that receipt that is not on site. The only thing that it was used, and there's still some flooring, because this is when going back a few months, I was like, measure all the flooring, and if it comes out to 800 square feet, we'll order 1,000 square feet of flooring and we'll store it. This way, we're not purchasing and we get better sell prices. So those things are, yes, they're on the receipt. There are even some flooring still in the storage room. So but other items, we can't account for because everything's everywhere.
So now if you know, they tell you that there's something, I think when you assign somebody a unit, Zuri, they're going to have to tell you what they need to do the work and what they don't have that might have to be purchased.
Right. And then that's what we've done.
Okay. All right. Do we need a vote on this? Or?
Well, if it's already established in that form, then not really. If that's what Zuri says, then that's it.
already there, so we don't really need to make a vote on it. Okay. I think it's just a discussion that Zori may want to have with Willie and say, hey, this is going to be, this is how it's going to do, and you know what, and they have that conversation. And then from there on, then Zori could just let us know how they're working out.
Okay. All right.
Do you agree with that, Zori?
Are you good with
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
All right. Bob?
I'm good. I think it's good.
Okay.
So there's another thing, and because it's still in the new business. But
you didn't have me put it on.
No, it made me, because Bob made me realize something, and I think Zori and I had this discussion. I actually checked it out, like Bob. We have 4 turnovers. Hopefully, this person could start Monday of this coming week. If not, Zori and I do attempt to hire until we can find a suitable person, because Willie is falling behind. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if Zori wants to talk about it or you want me to continue.
No, I mean, I've already posted the position on Indeed. I got a lot of applications back.
Good.
I just have to sort through them. But yeah, I mean, he definitely needs help right away. So the sooner that someone can start, the better. I mean, with everyone on Indeed, we're going to have to go through an interview process. So that's going to be a bit delayed. But there was a temp agency that I was going to work with prior to Willie starting that had someone available at the time. So I could always follow up with them and see if someone's ready to start right away. It's just, you know, we're waiting on Junior, and, you know, he's taken his test. So I should know something by tomorrow to see when he can start.
Okay, good. Awesome. All right. So okay. you'll let me know, and I'll let the board know. All right. So that's everything on the agenda that we had. Zori, it's subsidized housing coordinator report. So it's you.
Yes. So just a few notes. We had the meeting with the mayor, as we discussed earlier. Mm-hmm. We didn't have too many concerns at Steiger. Regina did talk a little bit about some residents at Miss Palmer had some concerns about the transportation. Valley Transit, which is what we use here in the Valley, they do not go into New Haven. So if you have an appointment or something to do out that way, they're not going to travel because it's out of their jurisdiction, unless mm-hmm. you're physically unable to ride the city bus. So I had a conversation with Regina to let her know, you know, to post those schedules for the bus or the train, put them in the 3 sites just so they have that information. I also spoke with the executive director of Valley Transit, and he mm-hmm. said that come April, they're going to be starting a micro transit program for evenings and weekends. So now they only operate during the day. I think he said 6 a.m. to 5. But they're looking to do evening hours and also weekend hours as well. So if someone wants to go to church or if they have a gathering or something to attend, that service will be available in the evenings and then on the weekends as well. And he said it's going to be similar to Uber, so they can call, request the ride, and then within 30 minutes it'll show up. You know, it's door-to-door service, so it'll be right at their door. So they're going to be trying that out and sending us information. And then as soon as we get that information, we can share it with the residents, put it in a newsletter to let them know as well.
That's great. So it's not going to be like something where you have to download an app, because I know a lot of seniors don't have those kind of phones.
Right. No, he said that you could just call it in and request the ride that way, and it'll be similar to Uber, which is good.
Okay.
So the meet and greet for Lakeview, we didn't have that one yet. That's scheduled for next Tuesday.
Right.
You guys, you know, we've already talked about Junior. He's supposed to be hopefully starting on Monday. We're just waiting for the background, you know, everything to come back. As far as the radon mitigation plan for CC, that I'm still waiting for. Philip, who is responsible for that at Ty and Bond, is out on medical leave. So I reached out to his colleague, Brian. He's going to be, you know, trying to get that information and reaching out to me as soon as possible so we can start remediating those levels at CC. And then Lakeview, I also wanted to discuss, I know that we talked last year about the metal beams over there at Lakeview. So Vinny from Property Solutions, someone that Willie knew, had come out and he talked with Willie, and I think Danny had also met them there as well. So he is saying that once the metal beams are exposed, he would like to come out just to see how they're connected and try to come up with a plan. I was told that I think one or two of those metal beams is very thin and is going to have to be repaired. But he has to kind of see, you know, take all the wood, the sheetrock off so he can see exactly what needs to be done. So far, even a year later, I've only gotten one quote from a construction company, which was about $30,000. That's the only quote that I've received so far. So I didn't want to go with the first person. I wanted to kind of get prices so we could compare and see what the best deal is to go with. So as soon as there's downtime, I know we have a lot of vacancies now, maintenance is going to, you know, take off that sheetrock, that, you know, whatever surrounding that metal beam, so Vinny can come back out and give us a price on what it would cost to repair it. Okay. So that's something that's kind of still, you know, in the works that we're just waiting on information.
So can I interject?
Yeah.
So when I was there, I think you and I talked about this as well, is to get our guys to rip it out and clean it up. I don't feel comfortable with Vinny, any of that. I think we should get a welder, some type of steel person, engineer that's going to come out and evaluate all the metal. And he'll say, or they'll say, hey, these two beams are the only two that needs to be replaced or repaired. And then from there, I think we can, our own guys could then do the most, the rest of the work. $30,000 is way too much for, you know, just to replace two of the beams and the rest of the work. So I think if, again, depending on what you guys decide, is once it's all cleaned up, we'll get contractors that are welders or engineers for metal to come out, evaluate the structure of all that metal, and then we'll go from there and eternal. We could actually, we might not even need to cover it. Once those two are repaired, we could actually paint them black, leave them exposed, and just protect the metal from the element. Because part of the problem of that metal rusting, from what I saw, was metal is not supposed to touch other metals or wood. That's what, it starts to create moisture. So even if we left the metal exposed, repair what we need to repair, and then just buy the proper paint to seal them, I think A, it'll look nice. It'll give it that more of a of that new look that everyone's trying to accomplish, the industrial look, and it'll be that much more cost effective because all we're gonna have to buy is paint. So I think we should just look for the a metal welder or a metal engineer to come out and evaluate that, and then go from there with Vinny or whoever we else we decide.
It'll be good once it starts. I mean, I think about that every once in a while. It makes me a little nervous, but...
yeah, because the two that I saw, it was already flaking off. Like, yeah. There's no metal. So, and there's only two. So why pay someone to do all of it when it's only two locations? So just trying to save the housing authority money on trying to figure out how to just do it cost effectively.
Bob or Loretta, any comments?
I don't know much about any of that industrial kind of stuff, but it sounds like a plan. I mean, we get somebody who knows metal. For me, mm-hmm. a welder is that kind of guy.
Yeah, we've been trying to get somebody out there for the longest time. Even we tried to get Carlos Armando when he was the building inspector. We could never get anybody out there, but it's got to be somebody who knows the metal, sure.
Yeah.
All right. Zuri, do you still have more to do? You do, I think.
No,
right?
That was all I had, yep.
Okay.
Anybody have any questions for Zuri?
No. Nope.
Okay. So there's no need for executive session. I'll take a motion to adjourn.
I will. Zuri, I'll be over tomorrow to sign some checks
all right.
in the morning.
Okay. Thank you.
7:44. Loretta made a motion to adjourn. Danny's going to second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. And Zuri, I don't know that I'll make it tomorrow, but but I will be there on Monday.
Okay. No problem. All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much. You too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.